thanking you for your grace and for your mercy. We're thanking you, Father, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, Yahweh, so holy that they could not speak it. But today, because of your blood of Jesus, we can speak it. And Yahweh, come and have your way in the midst of our presence, of gathering together. Come and move on our heart and come and move with your word and come and lead us and those who are educating and discipling our children. Father, give them wisdom and knowledge, and we give you praise and glory. And then, Father, we pray for the land in which we live this morning. You know the pain, you know the suffering, you know the hurt, and you know the death, and you know the violence, and you know all those things. But Lord God, take us under your gird and guide us and direct us and lead us, Father God, and heal our land. And we come before you and confess our sins. Hallelujah. You are the one who heals it. But we ask you, as we confess our sin, to come and heal our land. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 3 of the book of Romans is where we begin today in our, I don't know, we're going through the book of Romans. We'll get through it in about 2022. Say, hey, I'm in my devotions, you know, and I've been 10. I've been going through Isaiah and Jeremiah. Hallelujah, I'm finally through with Jeremiah as of today. Right? I've finished Isaiah, I'm through Jeremiah, and now guess what book I get to move into? Lamentations. I don't know. I was thinking if we can move to some of the favorite scriptures that I had rather than go into Lamentations, right? But the one thing I can tell you as we introduce this text today is that our God is faithful. Amen. Even though he brings some judgment, even though he brings some harsh judgment on his people for walking away and worshiping idols and doing false things and evil, even wicked things, God always is bringing his people back. And so once you read the Old Testament and you get the story and you get to the New, you're kind of excited to hear some good news. Hey, what the law could not do, Jesus has done. Can you say amen? Now those of you who are new in the Word of God, what the law could not do, Jesus has done. And here's what the law could not do. The law could not save you. In fact, the law was given, the Word of God says, to show the need of a Savior. You know, all the sacrifices and all the offerings and all the things that God's people had to do, and the prophets came and gone and they killed them. And I love the story in this presence that what the law could not do, Jesus has done. And that is the title of the message today. What the law could not do, and what the outward of circumcision could not do, Jesus has completed. So bear with me, because we're going to have a long reading. We're going to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 3. I could not faithfully break it up. And so we're going to read it. And it's only 31 verses, and I'll try to read somewhat fast. Amen. You ready? Book of Romans is tough, especially for Wesleyans. Oh, I didn't say that out loud. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? So before we get any further, I need to tell you, Paul is debating with a fictitious person. The person that Paul begins to debate with is a Jew that he's made up in his mind. And so in this text, he is debating against what he knows his Jewish brethren are going to bring up. And so Paul begins this debate. So the next time you come to me and say, do you always talk to yourself? Yeah. Yes. And do I debate with myself? Yeah. Yes. I make up fictitious people. Well, hey, I'm in good company. Paul's doing that right now. Just saying. It's good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me. Can you say amen? All right. Let's go forward. What advantage? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God, right? For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not, for then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to His glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are seriously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Wow. There is none who understands. There is none who speaks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Keep listening. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of the asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Don't get too depressed. We're coming. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. We're building here. We're getting to the answer to all this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference between Greek or Jew, right? Because now we have Christ. He's poured Himself out for us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, right? Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith, right? Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Amen? So here we go. So verses really 10b through the 18 is when God looks down from heaven, this is what He sees. All men have sinned. Right? All men are guilty. All men are, take one of those texts and read it and see if you've ever been in that place. When God looks down from heaven without the blood of Jesus, that's what He sees. As Wesley put it one way, he said, this is before the grace of God got a hold of man. So, think about that. This is man before the grace of God gets a hold of him. The exciting part about the grace of God is if you have the grace of God in your life, it will not leave you the same. And the grace of God will change you. What the law could not do, the grace of God through Jesus Christ will do. And to live by faith is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for our sins. And He alone came and paid the heavy price. Here's the deal. what makes God righteous is that He sent His only begotten Son. When His only begotten Son came, He had no sin in His life, yet He was willing to offer His life as a sacrifice for you and I. That's praise the Lord. And we don't like to talk about sacrifice today. We don't talk about Jesus dying on the cross. We got a lot of stuff, but the truth is, without the cross, we would have no power. Amen. Paul said, I would know Christ in the power of His grace, but I also would know Christ through the cross. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. And I also want to know Him on the other side of the cross, which He said, I want to know Him in the power of the resurrection. And the identification that He says to justify by faith is to believe that God is, through His Son, healing and redeeming all man. Can we believe that? Amen. And so when God gets a hold of us, even though we have some of those things in us, God is at work changing us and transforming us, and we are justified by His faith. You know what justified means, right? Say, speak it out. Just as we are because of who we are? No, because of who He is. So the next time the devil pounces on you, folks, and says you are unworthy, all you got to say is, you're absolutely right, but because of the blood of Jesus, He makes me worthy. Amen. And you say amen? Amen? See, that's by faith. That's propitiation of the blood of Jesus paying for our price. That is being justified. And the enemy loves to make you and I feel like we are unworthy. Well, good news. We're only worthy because of Jesus, and it's not about us, it's about Him. The second good news is Jesus is not going to leave us where we are, because Jesus' grace and power is changing us into His image and into His likeness on a daily basis. Amen? So did you wake up this morning and put a list down on a piece of paper? Well, this is where I need to have God do some work in me. I doubt many of us did that. But I'll bet you that if I came to you on an individual basis, each of you could probably tell me something where you think God needs to do some work on you. Now, that, I didn't think I'd get an amen out of that. But here's the truth. The good news is that Jesus is going to do it. Amen. If we allow Him. The good news is He's so much bigger than we are. And so much better than we are. Well, in our little emotions that we get so discouraged and defeated, Jesus does not get defeated. He is not defeated. And because Jesus is not defeated, no matter what you feel like, we are not defeated. Amen. The only time we get defeated is when we give up and quit. Well, what we need to quit doing is thinking we're in control. Because we are not in control. Someone just told me this week, you know, we got to quit thinking we're in control. Because the moment we're in control, we're in trouble. However, the word control still plays a part in our life, being by faith and justify Him. We surrender to Him the control of our lives. What do you mean? My life is not my own. My dreams are not my own. Does that mean I give up all the dreams? Well, let me just ask you a question. Would you rather have what God wants for you or what you want for you? My dreams are so fine. They're just, from this human perspective, are nothing compared to what God has planned for me and the good He has planned for me. And you know, we have great things to be excited about. Hey, listen. In Jesus' day, they hated Him. The politicians of the day didn't want Jesus to be around. They wanted to hide Him because they were afraid that the Caesar would come and accuse them of being weak, because Jesus seemed to have some control over some of the Jewish people. And so they hated Him. And even when they would listen to the truth, they wouldn't obey the truth. Even when Paul tried to convince Felix, he said, well, you almost convinced me, but not quite. Am I a fool? Or am I like one of these guys who believe? No, but the truth is, if we'll just allow Jesus to have our lives and to give Him our life by faith and surrender to Him and allow Him to justify us and keep us where we need to be, we will be changed by the grace of God on a daily basis. I heard a speaker who is from a different theological realm than I am, but I still love him. He doesn't even know me, so it doesn't matter whether I love him or not, but it does to the kingdom of God. But I heard him say something, and I thought, this is powerful, and I've used it. But here it is. He said, sometimes we understand that where sin aboundeth, there much more grace. But you see, the truth of the matter is, if it is God's grace on your life, then that grace is going to change you. If it isn't changing you, it's not God's grace. And they call him the Prince of Grace. I would never take that name on myself because Jesus is the Prince of Grace. But I thought, that is so true. God does not want to leave us right where we're at. He wants to change us into His image, into His likeness. Isn't that good news? The best part about it is I get to go around and around and around as God keeps changing me. I mean, if I start in the list way back when, and I don't know if I'm halfway through, but I'm further down the road than when I started. Someone said, are you petrified? No, I'm sanctified, but I'm not petrified. I'm still alive and still breathing and still have to make choices. God does not take the choice process away from us. God will not force you to turn off Fox News or CNN or NBC now I'm giving myself away. Well, what God will do is He'll talk to you about being a light in the darkness. Do you want to fill your life with darkness? Do you want to fill your life with darkness? Or would you rather... That's a pretty easy answer. Or would you rather fill it with the light of Jesus Christ? Would you rather believe the politicians of this generation, or would you rather believe Jesus? Or would you rather take things into your own hand and go out and make pipe bombs and take a gun into a place of worship? Or would you rather let Jesus have His way with you and stand strong and let the light shine in the darkness? See, the news makes it sound like Republicans and Democrats are the enemies, right? And even some of the politicians do that. But the truth of it is, there's only one enemy we have to be afraid of. And his name is Satan. And you know what he does? He breeds disunity. You see, he loves it when a country who sends more Bible to any place, any other country to the world, he loves it when we're fighting among each other. He loves it because we hate one another, because your politics aren't like my politics. The enemy loves it when we can't even sit down and talk anymore. Absolutely. Who's winning? Evil. We cannot let evil win. We must stand strong in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, there are believers on both sides. Now, I don't know where Bernie Sanders is, but I'm praying for Bernie Sanders, because whether we know it or not, he has some skills and he is leading some of our people. People are listening to him. And they all play a role in the kingdom, whether they know it or not. And you know, God says, I put who I want in the kingdom. Right? The truth is, I want to do what Christ wants me to do. The truth is, we used to be able to vote independently. Then the politicians decided that wasn't good in the Washington state, so they took our independence away, and now we have to register as a Republican or a Democrat, or if you don't and you're an independent, you only get to vote in the general election. You don't get to vote in the primaries. And why did I bring that up? Because that's not how Jesus is. Jesus is for all men. And His salvation is given to the Gentile and to the Greek. The next time you see something that you don't like and may be wrong morally, may be wrong biblically, remind yourself that Jesus died for those people. Just like He died for me. And He expects the church to take a stand with the presence of God and shine the light in the darkness. Does that mean every time we're going to win in the world? No. But we've already won the battle because He paid it for us. Victory is ours. We just run in the race as if to win. The thing about this is, I read through that list from 10b through the 18. I thought, man alive, that's some hard stuff, Lord. But there's none. No one can stand and say that they have not sinned before God and man. But what we can say is that we have been forgiven, and we have been cleansed, and we have been healed, and we have been delivered. And you know, be careful how you judge your brother or your sister. Because He said in one, and He said here, you know, we judge. And even those of us who judge, we go out and do the same thing. Let's see, who's going to have the harsher judgment? The one we're judging are ourselves. So judging, the issue for us is to become like Jesus. That isn't to say we got to accept everything, agree with everything. It isn't even to say You know, it's just simply let Jesus have his way with my life. Do you know how many people I come in contact with as a human being that I... Do I dare say this? Don't take this out of this room. Some days I just want to strangle them. And thank God they don't look at me and say, you know, I just want to strangle you, because I'm sure I get on their nerves and they get on mine. But I'm realizing it's not about me. It's about Jesus, and I have to work with them. I have to surrender to Jesus and be light. And you know what I found when I do that? God has a way of using people that irritate me to speak into my life. And I get something out of them if I just be still before the Lord and let him use whomever he's going to use to speak into my life. And another thing I found out is that a lot of my brothers and sisters out there just want Jesus, or they want the hope that only Jesus can give them, and they just don't know how to get it. And here I am, a disciple of the and a follower of Jesus, and it's my responsibility. I'll take that on. That's who my call, what my calling is to share Jesus with them. And sometimes when I get so worried about being right politically and correct, I forget that I'm not here just to be politically correct. I'm here to be Jesus and to be darkness in the light and to let his light shine in me. Help me, God. Help me, God. Because I'm as stubborn as the next man. Someone asked me who I was voting for in this upcoming election. Well, it's none of your business. But the truth of it is, I'm voting for the man or woman whom I think will do the best. What do you mean by the best? Well, who's closest to what I feel that our country needs. That means I have to get serious about them pamphlets, and I have to seriously look at the issues and think about them. And then we got all these other things. But the one thing I will vote first, and I will always do this, is I will vote what I feel God wants. And I pray. Oh, you mean I got to vote for that one? It's got a different letter behind its name than what I'm used to voting for. So I kind of go like this. No, I don't. You know, someone said, you ever voted for the opposite party? Oh, yeah. So he's no longer in office, so I can use his name in my 31st district. It was Christopher Hurst. Now, I'm a registered Republican. Don't hold that against me. I really want to be an independent, but they won't let me unless I vote independently in the general election. But you know why I vote for Christopher Hurst? I know him. I sat down with him and I asked him the tough questions when he was in office for our state legislator. And we talked and shared, and I know a little bit of his life story. And you know what? You're my man. I'm voting for you. I voted for him every time. When he voted on something that I thought he shouldn't have voted on, probably drove him nuts. Someone once said, well, you know, I tried to get a hold of Christopher Hurst and I couldn't get a hold of him. And I said, well, try to live his life. You know, they get a little money to go down to Washington to make decisions for the state. And then he's busy trying to get reelected every 2 years. And then, yeah, he's busy. But just keep trying, because if they're really good politicians, they're going to get a hold of you. Shoot, I get stuff from people I don't want to get stuff from because they're trying to get a hold of me. I'll be so glad when the election's over and my box is about half empty. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I say? This is the honest truth as a Christian. God, couldn't we take those millions of dollars that are being poured into our state for some of these referendums, and couldn't we use it for a better light in the darkness? Couldn't we take those millions of dollars because you want to get your way and you want to challenge others? How about if we build something for the homeless? How about if we start a drug addiction facility for those who are on the streets addicted to heroin? How about if we work together for the good of our country rather than tearing one another apart? And you see, this is the answer to this Romans chapter 3. Can we say amen? Amen. Hey, this is Romans 3. See, I was no good until Jesus found me. And once Jesus found me, he made what was no good, good. Now, Jesus never looked at me as no good. I'm just speaking from a man's perspective. But because of what Jesus has done in me, he has changed me into his likeness, into his image. And I am sure better off than what I was. And only do I boast in one person and one person alone. His name is Jesus. Where are you today? Do you need by faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you need to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and become a Savior? Be saved by the Savior and then be justified in the twinkling of an eye by the blood of the Lamb and to walk free man? My oldest son was in prison for 13 months in Oregon Penitentiary. It's a long story I can tell if you need to know it, but this is what I want you to know. After 13 months, he got out, and I picked him up in Ontario, Oregon. And he walked out of the prison and he said, "Wow, Dad, Mom, I'm free." And then he said something I'll never forget. "I'm afraid of that freedom. Because for 13 months, I've been in a place where people told me when to eat, how to eat, and what to do. And now I am free of that. Now I have to make decisions for myself and I have to do the right thing or I'll be right back where I was. I have a father. He's in heaven. He gave his heart to Jesus in 1986 in a revival meeting that I held coming back from Bible college. And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ." Okay? And I can see the day. But as I would walk and disciple Dad, Dad would say, "I just can't believe that Jesus has forgiven me of all the wicked things I've done in the past." You've heard the story if you've been here long enough. I'm old and I'm retelling it. And I kept saying to my father, "You know what? There's nothing that you have done that the Lord God cannot forgive you and already has forgiven you because you're covered by the blood of the Lamb." And so Dad would constantly say, "I just don't think he," you know, and you could tell he just could not buy into this complete forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That this God, whom he now is serving and now has repented of his sins, could actually wipe his slate clean and see him through the blood of the Lamb. And I kept telling him and telling him and telling him. And his faith, his religion wouldn't let him get beyond that. And then one day, I walked into his nursing home, and I immediately could tell that something had happened to my father. You could walk in the room, feel the Holy Spirit, and you could look into my father's eyes, and you could see the joy of the Lord. And you could just see the deep love he had for God. And I walked and I said, "Dad, what has happened to you? You already know the story, don't you?" And he said, "Well, son, here's the key, Romans 3. I finally believe that Jesus could do what you said he could do, and I accepted it." 3 months later, no, 2 months later, my father was at home with the Lord Jesus. But he went home knowing the fullness of the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus. Whew! Those of us who live here today sometimes need the same thing my father needs. We need Romans 3 to take a hold of us. We need that forgiveness of sins and the sacrifice that Christ gave us. We need it to be applied to our life. And we may already have it applied to our life. What we need is to know that we are justified. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is and what He did. If people will walk high and boast in Jesus, and we'll tell others about Christ, and we'll let Him shine through us, we will make a difference in the world. Where are you at today? What do you need Jesus to do for you? No, that's really not the question. What will you allow Jesus to do in you? Are you like my dad? Well, you have some things in your life you just don't think God can forgive you and you're kind of lukewarm and you just don't know what, you know, but God wants to do that. He wants to cleanse you and heal you. Man, I'll tell you what. My dad never spoke about Jesus much, but when after he got that victory, that's all he could talk about. Here's the best part. An old boy next to him was a guy we grew up with who had a ranch, and my dad and him were friends, and his name was Charlie Arion. And I am pretty sure the last days of his life, my dad was able to tell him about Jesus. Old Charlie Arion. You don't know him? It just brings up old Charlie Arion to me. How about my son, who walked out of the penitentiary and was a little concerned about the freedom he had and what he would do, because everybody else was making decisions for him rather than him making himself. And you might be there today where you're wondering, how can I live in this freedom in Christ and yet live it in such a way that I can glorify Him? Because God will empower you to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I always try to cut this a little short, but it just never works out. John Wesley said, before the cross, God seen all those things in them 18 verses and 10b through 18. But after the cross, it was before grace got a hold of you. Now grace has a hold of you. Hallelujah. Now you can walk after Jesus and change your life and be different than what those texts say. That's the message of Romans 3. That's really the message of the whole gospel, the whole book of Romans is, you know, the good I want to do, that I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the writer Romans says, who shall deliver us from this? But thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He shall set us free. And I challenge you to walk in your freedom today. Amen. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.